Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report and a company update from Heliostar Metals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol HSTR and down on the OTC markets under the symbol RGCTF. I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Charles Funk. Now, Charles, we are following up on some drill results from the Unga project in Alaska. These were just released yesterday, January 25th. Headline number of 16.1 grams per ton gold over 4 meters, within 7.74 grams per ton gold over a little bit more than 11.5 meters. These drill results are coming from this SH1 zone. Now, I will post a link to prior interviews where we provided a more broad overview of this Unga project and the drill strategy. But just to bring everybody up to speed, this SH1 zone is the, let's call it the most de-risk area on this project and has the largest portion of the resource, just short of 400,000 ounces. Take us through these initial two holes that were released yesterday, please.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Corey. They're great results to start with. As you'll recall, there was a 100-meter gap between surface and any pierce points in the SH1 resource. And so we completed 7 holes last year to get greater confidence and potentially to increase the resource if the results were good. And so our first two results, which you touched on, show broad widths and excellent grades above the average grade of the resource. So really reinforcing the high-grade nature at SH1.
So then is it fair to say that these holes, the ones in this gap zone between, well, let's say between 100 meters and a surface, that these are easier ounces to add to the current resource? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, with these grades, absolutely.
Now, what is going to be the process of continuing to drill out this area and then also get back some of the other results that are still in the labs?
Exactly. So we have a remaining 5 shallow holes to get back from the lab, and they will continue to fill in that blank area. We also got 2 of the deeper holes drilled last year, and there's a lot of debate internally about whether we have an east plunging chute or a steeply vertical chute. Both are wide open. I think we've touched on before that the deepest hole at SH1 is 5.5 meters at 24 grams and has never been followed up on. So we have a lot of debate internally, but we plan to remobilize in late March, drill another 20-odd holes deeper into SH1 to definitively answer this question.
Now, what's going to be the significance of answering this question? Is it simply for the follow-up work so that you guys can better define where the resource is and where the high grade is?
So the fact that there's so little drilling at SH1, either really loosely spaced drilling outside the core area or no drilling in the open areas, it doesn't matter from a resource potential perspective if it has the easterly plunge or the subvertical plunge. But we have to do the drilling and work out which one it is. In both instances, it's wide open.
All right, so I will post this long section, figure 1, from the news release below this interview so everyone can follow along. And it does highlight this SH2001A and SH2002 hole. So those are the ones that we got the results for. You can see all the other shallow holes that we are awaiting results from. And one of these deep holes, that SH2009, that's one of those deeper holes. One thing that I'm seeing within this cross-section, though, is kind of sporadic drilling throughout this project. Now, I know that was previous operators, but from the method that you guys are taking, what's a different strategy, attack strategy, that Heliostar has for this asset compared to the prior drilling?
Yeah, I think looking at this is it teaches you a lot about the psychology of exploration. In that you see previously, if there was a poor result in terms of assays, they still routinely got very wide veins, you know, consistently 2 to 10 meters true width. The previous operators seemed to then never come back to that area or never step up, you know, regularly move 100 to 300 meters away from those intercepts. Whereas you see, if there's been a good hole drilled, particularly in the main chute, there's a lot of close space drilling. And so all that does is make these big areas that you think have no potential and only small areas with the great potential. Whereas the reality is epithermals have a lot of variability in the mineralization. Any big epithermal shoot can have lower grade holes in the middle of a high grade zone. So from our perspective, we want to do systematic infill drilling, regularly drill this based on geological merit, not just resulting on whether it's a high grade result or not. And I think we could significantly add to the resource that way, as well as the open intersections that we talked about.
So when will we get some more clarity on an upcoming program in terms of how you're going to balance out continuing to drill in these open sections, which you can see in figure one is really everything at depth and even the shallow area, but then also balance out some of that infill drilling to just de-risk the project and potentially grow the resource?
Yeah, so our plan, we've updated our corporate presentation that shows a little more information. We're going to remobilize to site in late March. We have a two-phase program. I suppose it's worth just weighing on, you know, we can remobilize in Alaska in March because we have a nine-month field season, which is very rare because of where we're located so far south in Alaska. And so a two-phase program that we're planning starts with the systematic drilling at SH1 and Apollo, an equal combination of infill and step-out drilling, and then a more expansive program to test all the other targets that we've touched on previously, Corey.
Okay, now regarding these holes that are still in the lab, I understand that these assay labs are very backed up. When are you expecting to get some of these other holes out, though, compared to how long it took for these first two?
Yeah, so we've suffered like many of this long lead time, and the Fairbanks lab in Alaska was one of the worst hit in terms of A, increasing demand, and B, poor flow through. So we did the best we could as a management team, and we identified that there was a considerably lower delay in the Whitehorse lab. So we started shipping samples to the Whitehorse lab. And what that means is we're actually going to get a lot of results in a short period of time. So the remaining shallow holes, the two deeper holes at SH1, and also the remaining drilling at Aquila, Apollo, and Sitka that we're waiting for assays from, we expect to get those results throughout February. So I think we can expect a much stronger news flow now that we've caught up with the backlog.
All right, so we will continue to see these drill results coming out. Just remind everybody how much work and how many holes are still in the lab for these other targets, like Aquila and like Apollo.
We completed 23 drill holes last year. We hit our targeted vein in 19 of those 23 drill holes, and we've only now got 3 drill holes back. So lots of scope for more news over the next few months before we remobilize and start drilling again this year.
One final comment just regarding cash in the bank. So just to understand, or just to make clear, the company has really spent the money on the drilling. So that's the expensive stuff right now. You're just waiting for the assay labs to get back. So in terms of money in the bank and also money to be able to start the next program, where's the company standing?
Yeah, so we have $5.5 million worth of cash or short-term investments at the moment that'll fully fund our planned program for Mexico for the next few months and the restart up in Alaska. So, yeah, looking forward to getting back and getting those news from those two different projects over the next few months.
And the Mexico project, something we talked about in past interviews, that will also be drilled, as you mentioned. So that also does provide some catalysts while you're waiting to get some drills back on the ground up in Alaska. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Charles, please email me fleck@kereport.com and I will get those answered for you. Charles, I'll touch base with you on the back of some more drill results and to get any questions that come in answered. I appreciate your time today. Have a great rest of your week.
Thank you very much to you and your listeners as well, Corey.